The entire 119th Psalm is dedicated to the theme of the law of God. And most people know that the 119th Psalm is the longest chapter in the Bible. It is composed of 22 stanzas, each containing 8 verses. Now the good news. I'm going to start a series on Psalm 119 this morning, but the good news is it's not going to be a verse-by-verse study of the entire 119th Psalm. We're not going to try to do an exhaustive study of the Psalm, but we are simply going to look briefly at some of the themes developed throughout this great Psalm. This lesson will be different, really, than the others that are going to be in this series, because in this lesson, I want to look at this introductory stanza. It is the first stanza of the psalm. And I think it does present a pretty consistent and coherent kind of theme statement for the whole 119th psalm, talking about the value of the law of God. And so we want to look at how the psalmist in this particular first 8 verses gives us a framework with which we can look at the rest of the psalm in some lessons which are more topical in nature. And so as we look at this, the very first thing we notice in this psalm is that God's people are commanded to keep God's word. There is a direct relationship between being a child of God and the attitude we take towards what God says. And so this responsibility is expressed 5 different ways in the first 8 verses of Psalm 119. In Psalm 119 and verse 1, it says we are to walk in the law of the Lord, indicating that our manner of life, the way in which we go through life, where we move from point A to point B in our life, and actually where we move from our beginning of understanding the relationship that we have with our God until the very end of our lives, is to be characterized by this commitment to do what the law of God says. The second thing we are told in Psalm 119 and verse 2 is that we are to observe His testimonies. It's not enough to just know what God says, but we must also have a commitment that we are wanting to do what God says. We're going to observe what it is that He has to say. That is, we have the knowledge of it, but we are going to observe it in the sense of complying with it. Then in the third verse, the psalmist reaffirms what is said in the first verse in just slightly different language. He says we are going, that the child of God will walk in His ways. And so the indication here is that His laws and His ways are essentially the same thing. There is not a dichotomy where someone says, well, yes, this is the law of God, but this is the way God would have me to live. There's a consistent connection in the eye of the psalmist to the fact that if you're going to do what God wants, if you're going to walk in His ways, it's going to be in harmony with what His law has said to you. And then in Psalm 119 and verse 4, the psalmist adds another aspect to that, because he says we are to diligently keep His precepts. The child of God does not grudgingly keep the laws of God or the precepts of God. It's not a, well, I guess I have to do this type of process. But rather, the child of God has a strong desire and a motivation to know what God's law is, and to put that in practice in their lives. And then in Psalm 119 and verse 5, and again in Psalm 119 and verse 8, Twice the psalmist tells us that we are to keep his statutes. We are to adhere to them. We are to make them ours. We are to hold them to ourselves. And so the first great message of this introductory stanza to this great psalm tells us the attitude and the approach that the child of God should take to the very words of God as we seek them and as we meditate upon them and then ultimately as we put them into practice in our lives. The other major theme of these first eight verses is that to the person who will do these things, to the person who will walk in the law of God, to the person who will observe his testimonies, to the person who is committed to walking in his ways and diligently keeping his precepts, to those who will keep his statutes, God provides through that process blessings. There are blessings to the child of God who takes this approach to the Word of God. The first two verses of the psalm declares that those who obey God's Word are blessed. Repetition in the Hebrew language was a way of emphasizing something. And so it is not accidental nor is it insignificant that in the first two verses the psalmist repeats this concept that if you, as a child of God, have the right attitude towards the law of God, you will be blessed. The Hebrew word that's used here simply means one who is blessed or happy. And if you look at what the lexicons say about that, it says you will have a greater happiness is what the word means. That is, your life will be richer than that of the individual who does not take this approach to the Word of God. And so the psalmist in this 119th psalm goes on through these first eight verses and enumerates a number of what these blessings will be. I believe there are four in number. And that when we look at that, we will see what is the nature of the blessings that God provides to those who will approach his word with this attitude. So the first thing it says is that it will make us blameless. It enables the child of God to be blameless. That's what his word does. Now, that Hebrew word can also be translated as it can make the child of God unscathed. In some places it's translated it will make you complete or intact. Most of the current translations that we would use, the one I normally use, the one that's in the Pew Bible, and several other of the more familiar translations that members of the church tend to use, all use the word blameless. The Old American Standard Version uses the word perfect, and the King James and the New King James Version uses the word undefiled. And so you put all those things together, and I think what we find is that obeying the Word of God will result in a man having an acceptable way of life. And the psalmist emphasizes that in the third verse. He says, they will do no unrighteousness. And so that's a double negative, and so in Hebrew as well as in Greek or in the English, a double negative cancels itself out. So to say they will do no unrighteousness means if they keep the law of God, they'll be blameless because they will be righteous. They will be right before God. And that leads us really to the second point that the psalmist makes, is that this attitude towards the law of God will make the child of God, or will give the child of God, God's approval. Now, the psalmist doesn't use that statement. That's a positive statement. Again, the psalmist uses it, expresses it, in the form of a negative. He says, if you have this attitude towards the Word of God, you will not be ashamed. As a verb, the Hebrew word here is translated to act shamefully or to be ashamed. As an adjective, it's translated as shameful. And the idea is that if you do not act in accordance with what God has prescribed in His law, that will bring you to shame. You will have a reason to regret and maybe even be embarrassed by your activity. And I don't know why this kind of thing happens. It may have been because I was working on the PowerPoint for this lesson yesterday or whatever. But somehow when I got up this morning, my mind went to all the stupid things I've done in my life. And some of them are just stupid stuff. Going the wrong way on a highway and because I was tired, and things that could have gotten me killed but luckily didn't. But that some of them are things of which I have great moral regret, and they could have caused me much more harm than they did, but God has blessed me and spared me of that by His grace. But the idea of if you don't pay any attention to what God has to say to you, there are going to be things that will happen in your life, and maybe your entire life will be characterized as being something of which to be ashamed. And what the psalmist tells us is that obeying the Word of God results in a type of life that God will approve, not that you need to be embarrassed of in before the seat of God. And he actually, and I don't know whether this is by design, which very well could be, or by accident, knowing that the Hebrews put a lot of effort into the symbolical nature of numbers. The psalmist actually characterizes this seven different ways in these eight verses. And the Hebrews considered the number seven a complete number based upon creation, that God finished creation and on the seventh day that He rested. So there may be something to the idea that the psalmist is saying that here is the complete and perfect summation of the advantage and the blessing of keeping the law of God. Because the life of obedience is characterized in this psalm in verse 1 as walking in the law of the Lord, and we've talked about that. In verse 2, seeking Him with all your heart. The absolute commitment and dedication. In Psalm 3, walking in His ways. In verse 4, keeping them with diligence. Verse 5, using them to establish our ways. And verse 7, learning His righteous judgments. And in verse 8, keeping of His statutes. And so there is an expression of an overriding principle of the way in which this person is going to conduct their lives. And the psalmist says, if you conduct your life this way, the blessing that God will give you is that you don't have to be ashamed of what you're doing. You do not have to be ashamed of what your life represents and what it stands for. Well, the third thing the psalmist says is that the observance of the Word of God will give them an admirable character. In Psalm 119 and verse 7, he says, they will have uprightness of heart. The Brown Driver and Briggs Lexicon says this Hebrew word that's used here, that's translated uprightness of heart, means a moral walk. In other words, your path of life will be one that will be moral. It will be right. The theological word book of the Old Testament says the word is literally means straightness and is actually used in that literal fashion several times in the Old Testament of somebody that's going to go straight to something from one place to another. But then it comes to an ethical sense It signifies the type of character that can be defined as blameless in Psalm 119 and verse 1. And so adherence to the Word of God creates a character. And that's based upon what he says in verse 2, where he says, this is achieved because this individual seeks the things of God with all their heart. The commitment to obey God's law will create true devotion. And that results in proper behavior. You will do no unrighteousness, the psalmist says. The great challenge for God's people is to live a life that is consistent with the values that we profess. We say this is who we want to be. And the way we live the way we say we want to be is by having this approach to the Word of God. And fourth and finally, that the psalmist says that one who lives this way according to the Word of God, that in that in us it will create a spirit of thankfulness. In verse 7 of Psalm 119, the psalmist says, I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart. We often, I think, look at thankfulness as somewhat of a natural or basic aspect of our character. You know, we are either a thankful kind of person or we are not. And sometimes you hear people even excuse the way they are about things by saying, well, that's just the way I am. But what the psalmist recognizes is the development of a thankful heart is the outgrowth of the heart that is seeking God with all their heart and recognizing what that means to them in their lives. Thus, one of the benefits of learning and obeying the Word of God is that we gain an appreciation for God. And we gain an appreciation for what God has done for us and for what God has provided us. And that, according to the psalmist, prompts us to be thankful to the God of heaven for what he has done for us. So as we look at this first stanza of the 119th Psalm, we can observe that certainly the psalmist establishes for us that the spirit of obedience to the Word of God is a foundational aspect of the character of God's children. In the next lesson in this series, we will approach the 119th Psalm a little different way. We will look at various verses throughout the Psalm that describes for us the very nature of the Word of God. What are the things that characterize the nature of the Word of God? So I thank you for your attention this morning. Brother Jose has the prayer, and then we will be dismissed to our classes. Mm-hmm.